Welcome to the Relevant Leader Monthly, a conversation to help equip the leaders of Relevant to become influential leaders. I'm your host, Nick Petrick, and I'm very excited about today's podcast. First of all, I'm excited because of who is joining me here on this podcast. One of my great friends, Jimmy George, our empowering director here at Relevant. Jimmy has joined me a few times on the Relevant Leader Monthly already. But Jimmy, I'm just excited to have you here. You're a good friend. We were talking earlier about how we want this to just be conversational, just kind of hanging out and just sharing some things with each other that I think will be good for our leaders. So, Jimmy, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, it's good to be here. And what people don't know is that we're looking at each other and smiling really big right now.
It's kind of awkward sitting in a room.
It is.
Knowing that people are listening, but it's just the two of you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, if any of you ever listened to the Relevant Leader Monthly before, you know that our goal is to help all of us leaders become influential leaders. We have a definition of an influential leader. People want to follow you. People want to go where you're leading them. People are getting where you're leading them. And you're raising up and equipping other leaders. There's so many different things that we need to be true about us for us to be influential leaders. So each month we like to pick a topic, a concept, something that needs to be true of us as leaders in order for us to be influential leaders. I'm always looking for things that people who I know are influential leaders do, things that they say, things that are true about them. And beginning of November, Jimmy, you trained all of our paid staff on something. And I knew right away as you were training it that it was something that all of our leaders could benefit from, something that could help all of us become influential leaders. So, Jimmy, that topic that you trained all of us on was delegation. And so I just thought, you know, let's start off real simply put, because words can be, we can kind of come up with what our own definitions of words. So, Jimmy, what is delegation and why is it so important to us as leaders?
Thanks for the question. Delegation, so I don't really have definitions to a lot of words that I use, but delegation is a very organizational term for me and my mindset. But in short, I would say that delegation is utilizing other people to get things done. It's equipping them and empowering them to go use their resources that they've been given by God. And so delegation is task management through other people, responsibility management through other people, and then trusting in other people, I'd say.
So delegation sounds kind of boring, let's be honest, right?
Very boring. That's why I was thinking that the paid staff were going to be really bored in November.
But, you know, we all think it's important. We all know that we can accomplish more when we delegate. So why? Why is it so important beyond just accomplishing more?
Yeah. It's so much more than just accomplishing more things. I think it's accomplishing the right things and the most important things in the right way through people. And the reason it's so important is because every person, regardless if they're leading a group, leading a team, leading a ministry, leading an organization, like you only have so much time and you only have so much skill. And God has given every single person a certain skill and gift to be used. And if we're not delegating, we're not going to be able to be fruitful in whatever we are trying to do. So you can only go so far by not delegating. So it's important because you can go farther.
Yeah. So I didn't brief you with this question, so kind of out of left field.
But, my favorite.
Do you have any examples, people that you've delegated things to and just why it was such a good thing that you did it?
Yes, I have a lot of stories actually that I could tell. I love to delegate. People say that I delegate everything that I can delegate so I don't have to do any of it. And while that is true.
Well, you've actually told me before that your dream job is that you've delegated everything
yes,
that you're responsible for.
I want to Give me a task and I'll delegate it really, really quick. My favorite thing is to talk to people. I love just talking to people. And no matter where I've been put in my life, I will delegate as much as I possibly can so that I can stay in the lane of what I'm good at and what I think I'm good at and what I enjoy the most. And that's just being one-on-one with people, talking to people. And so I think a story, very brief, is I love how technology works. I love how data works. I like statistics, but I hate keeping track of all of it. And there's things that in when it comes to that, like the administrative portions of my job, that I can't stand to do it because I don't enjoy it. I'm not good at it. I feel like it bogs me down. But there are people that have been wired by God Himself that just live and breathe admin, and they're good at it. And if I was to not utilize those people, or we're not to utilize them, then we are kind of doing the kingdom a disservice because we're not allowing them to use their gift. And yeah. Here I am trying to do it myself. So I love to delegate in those ways, and I've done that a lot here at Relevant. And it's fun to see what God has been doing through them using their gifts and being able to point things out that work better.
Yeah, it's so good. I think so often we think of delegation as something I need to do for me.
Yep.
So that I don't have so much on my plate.
Yep.
But the reality is it does so much more for the people that we delegate, if we delegate to the right people.
Yeah.
I think of, about every 4 to 6 weeks, Ronnie's weekly staff update, we bring on a volunteer staff who is just awesome.
Yeah.
They're just really driving the mission forward, making a big impact. And half the time they're people that know they do things behind the scenes.
Yep.
Nobody sees them doing, you know, what they're doing, the impact that they're making. It's one of the reasons we love to recognize them, but they hate those videos. They hate being on them.
I mean, they're so uncomfortable. Who doesn't who actually likes the videos?
Well, I tell you what, every once in a while we come across somebody that's like, I've been waiting for you to ask me.
I love watching them, but being on it it's different.
All right. So delegating is important for a lot of different reasons. But I'll be the first one to say, I don't delegate a lot of times. So what are some of the things that keep us from delegating?
I think the first one that it's always come to my mind, and even when I asked our paid staff this question, what keeps you from delegating, everyone said the same thing, including myself, and I wrote it down, and it just takes too much time to train someone to do it, so I'll just do it myself.
Yeah.
The problem with that is we get stuck in always doing it ourselves, and then we are kicking ourselves like, why can't I get these other things done? Well, it's because we're not delegating these other things that someone else could probably take it farther than us. So I'd say the first excuse is that it takes too much time to train other people. Another one is something that I know that I've dealt with is it's kind of like a pride thing where I want to be the one to do it because then my name is on it. And if that thing has become successful, then, well, Jimmy did that. And so I don't want someone else to get the glory. I've noticed that creep up in my life sometimes. And and other people have said that too, like kind of like the hero factor. We want to be everyone in ministry. I think at some point we'll want to be the hero. And ultimately Jesus is the hero. We just have to point to him. But I think just the time it takes to train people, some of the pride and the hero factor keeps us from delegating. And other times we just don't know what to delegate to people. We're like, what should I delegate to other people?
Yeah. Well, I definitely think that, for all of us to think through what keeps us from delegating, there's a good chance we all have different answers. And so I think for everybody listening, for you, for me, it's really important that we get an honest gauge evaluation of ourselves and what are the things that really, really keep us. I know for me, it's pride. 100%. Mm-hmm. If my name's on something, mm-hmm. I don't want it to look bad.
Yeah.
I want everybody to say, oh, like Nick's got it. We trust it. Oh, Nick's got it. It's going to be good. Yeah. Oh, you know. And so when I delegate things to people and my name's still on it, that's hard. It's hard to do.
Yeah. And the trick there is, as we train people, as I've been trained, like mistakes happen. It's not perfect.
Yeah.
But if we're waiting for it to be perfect, we'll never delegate. And if we are afraid of failure, then we'll never execute anything and we'll never reach visions. And so I think that's another thing too, when it comes to pride, is I don't want, if my name is on it, just like you said, if something is broken or there's a failure there, then now my name is on it, you know. But it's like, we all just have to realize, hey, we're in the people business and people fail, but people also get really good based upon failing.
Well, and I think even just talking to you now, that's like the most convicting part of this, is that just about every time I've delegated something to someone, they've done it better than I would have done.
Same here.
and I don't think it's going to be that way, you know, and that's part of my pride. That's part of, but, you know, and it's the whole kind of the, one of the reasons why delegation's so important, is that if I don't delegate, I'm the lid. The whatever I'm responsible for can only be as good as I am, can only go as far as I can go. You know, lots of examples of just things that when I've delegated other people, they've taken it further. And it can be hard too, in that there's times where people say, I think we should do this, after I've delegated something to them. And I think, you don't know what you're doing. And then, oh, I was wrong.
Yeah.
That turned out a lot better than
I should have
what
listened
I had
to a
doing.
Long time ago.
Yeah. So
yeah,
definitely important. So when you shared, Jimmy, with our paid staff, you called them personal foundations for delegation. But I know these are just some things that you, that are really important to you when it comes to delegation. And so, you know, what are your personal foundations? What's most important to you when it comes to delegation?
So when you said that I have created this term called personal foundations for delegation, that makes me sound really, really smart. And I'm just going to resonate and sit here for a minute and just take that in. Like I should be on a podcast someday talking about it. When I was thinking through this on for our paid staff, I was just thinking about, like, what does it start with? What is proper and good and successful delegation take? And I kind of came up with in my own mind, just like a basement term, like, well, the foundation has to be strong. It's like, okay, well, what's the foundation? Well, I would say, you have to first know your responsibility. What is my role? And I've asked Pastor Ronnie that multiple times. So I'm like, okay, give me the vision. What's the outcome that you want me to hit? What's the target? And do you care how I get this done? And he's like, just get it done. And so I'm like, all right. So understanding and knowing what I'm responsible for is the first foundation to successful delegation. The second one is clarity in everything that I do, everything that we do, everything that I'm going to ask somebody else to do. And so clarity of task, clarity of their responsibility, clarity of timeline, clarity of do this, not that. And sometimes it's, I'm not going to go down that path, but just clarity on everything that the role entails, the job entails, whatever. The third one I would say is organization. That's super important, because if I'm not organized in how I organize my calendar, organize my systems, organize, the environment that I'm in charge of or whatever the case is, then it's going to be that much harder to delegate to somebody else, because they're not going to, it's just unorganized. I mean, we all walk into our kids' room, if you have kids, and it's like, how do you operate in here? It's so unorganized. I don't even know where to start. So like, if we're not organized as leaders, it's going to be harder for people for us to delegate to them well. But then I did put on here time management, kind of on that whole personal foundation to delegation is time management. We have to know, how long it's going to take to do a task or be responsible for an environment or a ministry. We have to know how much time it's going to take for us to equip that delegate, I guess, if you will, the person that we're delegating to. Again, it's kind of goes hand in hand with time management, but, or with organization, but like, we have to be very, very comfortable and I guess firm in our own time management. Cause then we're in a healthier spot to delegate to another person.
Yeah, this is good, because when delegation's done right, it can be life-giving. It can be exciting to do. Mm-hmm. When it's done wrong, it can be frustrating. I when you're going over these four things. It reminded me of earlier this year, we made the big change from staff orientation to Relevant 101 and 201.
Yep, I remember that.
And we had to make a lot of changes just because of the way we were doing things. Overall, you know, the outcomes were still the same thing, the things we wanted to accomplish. And so I had to do a lot of retraining for leaders. And we have our discussion guide, leader guide, that our leaders go through every time we meet in small groups. And the first few weeks of it, when we first moved to Relevant 101, I noticed my leaders were really frustrated. And I was getting frustrated because I thought I had delegated to them what they needed to do in the groups, but they weren't really sure what they were supposed to do. And so then they would do something totally different, and I would say, well, no, we're doing this. And they were getting really confused. And so, you know, the first thing that we did that really helped was at the beginning of the discussion guide, we put, these are the outcomes for the week. I'm going to give you a discussion guide that is helpful for you. Mm-hmm. But if you can say that these 3 to 4 outcomes were met in your group, then I don't really care what else happens.
Yeah.
You know, it was really big in them knowing what they're responsible for. It was really big in clarity. Mm-hmm. Having it written down really helped with the organization. And also, you know, we've made a lot of changes over the years, staff orientation. We used to have an hour and a half. Now we're down to an hour. We're trying to make it much more bite-sized so people sign up for it, want to do it. And but I know that's been one of the hardest things about the change is we have less time. And so even just writing out, like, as we go through it, this is where you should be at 30 minutes in, this is where you should be at 40 minutes in, was really helpful. And so those four things of my leaders knowing what they're responsible for, there's clarity of what we're doing, there's organization. It's not just, here's the outcomes and and goodbye.
Yeah.
Go do it.
Yeah.
You know, but then also really time management, you know, knowing, helping them see, well, this is what we need to do in this time. One of the most frustrating things for me personally when I delegate something is I typically have a certain time that I want it done.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a deadline or even a time of day that I want to get it done. And the person who I delegated it to might not have that same timeline.
Right. Right.
And so if I don't communicate that, then delegation is frustrating.
Yeah. All the expectations are super important. Like expectations, it's like in a marriage.
Yeah.
If you don't communicate expectations in a clear way, you're going to have some, it's going to be hard, you know? So,
yeah. So how we delegate is really important. Another thing that's really important is who should we delegate to?
Mm-hmm.
Help us out, Jimmy. How do we determine who we should delegate to? Should we just pick the first person we see?
Yep. Nope. this is something that I love to do. And what I find myself doing the older I've gotten, because, you know, you know this because of our other conversations, like I'm at midlife now. We're at midlife, yeah. Nick, and we're reading the same terrible book about midlife.
Oh, it's so disgusting.
It is. You know, I'm waiting for the joy of the future. But when I think about the who, I begin praying, okay, God, who have you gifted with skill but also passion to do this, whatever I'm going to delegate? Because I don't ever want to serve in a role that I just cannot stand. Like, if it does not bring me life, I don't want to do it. And so I'm praying that God raises up a person or a couple or whatever it is that has a passion for it, whatever it is I'm going to ask them to do, the capacity for it as well, and then and the skills to do it. And so God is awesome when he created people with the different mixture of skills and talents and abilities. And if we work together in those ways and we utilize each other in those ways, then we can do great things. And so I always start with prayer. Okay, God, show me the person. And then, once I feel like I've identified that person, then I'll go ask that person, not if they want to do it, but I'll start asking them about What do you love to do? What do you hate to do? What are you good at? What are you not good at? What brings you life? What does not bring you life? And then so I'm gauging on whether or not I feel like I'm hearing God in this whole thing. And if it lines up, then I start to prepare, like the conversation will start leading into, well, I have an opportunity I would love for you to pray about. And I don't want them to answer me right then and there, because I literally want them to go pray about it. And I'll start talking about the expectations, which I talked about a minute ago, is just, I want to create the expectations almost to the point to where, and I don't know if this is, good or not, but almost to the point to where I'm like, I want to make this sound terrible to them, because then if they still accept it, then I know that it's the right person. So, and then we begin that process of onboarding them into that. So,
yeah, I think it's just so key that we understand the importance of delegating and what it's doing for people. And, as we are transitioning to Relevant 101 and 201, we, our first trimester we did it, we had about double the people that we were expecting sign up for 101. Mm-hmm. And it just right away, there's pressure of, we're going to need more leaders.
Yeah. Oh no, this is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that.
And we actually had the strategy of, we're going to have co-leaders for every group. And that first round, I think we had one couple that co-led together, mm-hmm. and everybody else led on their own, because we had that many people in groups.
It was
needed it. And I remember praying, and it was kind of more of a, rather than a strategic, I'm sitting down, want to move forward prayer, and more of a, God, I don't know what to do prayer, more of a reactionary prayer. But I remember coming up with the question of, if I could have anybody as leaders, who would I pick? And pretty quickly, two people came to my mind. I knew their life schedule. I knew how much they had going on. And I immediately said, they're too busy. Mm-hmm. It won't work for them. 101, 201 kept growing. I would see them in the hallway and I would think, oh man, I probably should ask them, but I haven't asked them. But and I remember coming to a point one day where I thought, who am I to decide who should be doing things? If God's giving me this name, I've identified who it is. Mm-hmm. I need to have the follow through.
Yeah.
I need to ask them and give them the expectations.
Yep.
Let them know, like, we meet 33 Sunday afternoons a year. You know,
it's a lot.
It's a lot.
And it's on a Sunday afternoon, which is a weekend.
Yeah. And so,
after lunch.
Yeah. So this is not it's not an easy thing. And mm-hmm. so I painted the expectations, like you said,
terrible.
and they won. It meant a lot to them that I even thought of them, that I, had even, identified them as leaders. And it meant a lot to them that they asked, and they said, well, let us just try it.
Yeah.
Let us apprentice, let us see if it works. We're getting ready to commission them as leaders faster than we have ever commissioned anybody as leaders in that group, because they're awesome.
Yeah.
They're rock stars. They are people that, and to me, this is one of the greatest, like, successes of delegation, is when you can say, I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Oh, it's beautiful.
You know,
when you hit that feeling, like when everybody is being utilized and systems are working and environments are happening and you get to sit back and watch it, not as a lazy person, but as a leader who have put the right people in the right places. Like, it is fun to watch.
Yeah. So for our listeners, for our leaders out there who are saying, I would love to delegate, I'm not really sure, where do I start?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do next? How do you delegate successfully? What steps do you need to take?
I kind of think through, again, I go back to what am I good at? What am I not good at? And then I start on the, what am I not good at? So I line that up with whatever I'm responsible for. How can I break this down into chunks, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
And then start making sure that, okay, I need to create this system, create this environment, create this overview, or create the expectations or whatever it is. And then delegate from small to big, meaning if this takes me 15 minutes a week to do, how can I delegate that task or that responsibility? If this takes an hour a week to do, or this ministry takes this much time and effort, like what role do I play in this whole thing? And what role do I need to pass off to somebody else that is going to take it farther than me or be able to keep up with it? And so again, it all goes back to that. One of the reasons we don't delegate is because we feel like it takes too much time. Or as leaders, like, well, I'm the leader, I have to do all of it. No, now you're not a leader. You're just you're like your own pawn to yourself, if that makes sense. And so I start small and work bigger. And I think about my skills and my talents and what brings me life. And I delegate the rest, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. All right. So real quick, just a few things. Want to recap of what Jimmy talked about. You know, he said we need to know our responsibility. We need to provide clarity, provide organization, provide time management. When we're looking at who we should delegate, we need to pray. We need to identify who they are. We need to ask them, and then we need to give them full expectations. When we're looking at, you know, what do we delegate? How should we delegate? Looking at different things that are small, that are bite-sized, that are easy, but then also looking at things that are large. I think that it's really important too that we look at the people on our team, mm-hmm. and we think, what could they do? There's times where I want to delegate the things that I don't want to do. There's other times where it's like, well, I need to delegate the things that I know somebody else could do, especially if they could do it better.
Yeah.
But even if it's just, I know that they could do it, because if I can delegate that, there's always more that I can do. If you're a T-Life group leader, there's people in your group who could do more. There's people who could take responsibilities from you. I think of one of the best things, my T-Life group, we've been meeting every Monday night for years, and we do a meal every Monday night and love it. It's one of my favorite parts of our T-Life group, is just sitting around the table interacting with each other. But at the same time, it's one of the most draining parts of our T-Life group is coming up with who's going to bring what? What are we going to make? We know that even just some of the things you talked about, clarity, making it simple. It's easy if we can just come up with a theme for the night. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Mexican food. Bring anything you want, you know.
And then you just get desserts. That's another podcast.
Yeah. Well, we've actually done appetizer nights.
Oh, nice.
We've done dessert nights before, just ice cream sundae.
Yeah.
Eat dinner before you come and do that.
That's the way to do it.
But one of the things that we decided to delegate to our apprentices earlier, I think last year, was just, I'd love it if you came up with the theme for every night and let the group know, what's the theme going to be? Just please take that off my plate.
Yeah.
it's been huge for us and not having to worry about it.
Yeah. And that person's probably having fun.
Yeah.
Too, doing it. Yeah.
They feel like they own a part of the group. They're not just coming to the group. They're leading, they're owning it. They're participating. And so just been really good. So, I want to challenge everybody who's listening to think through just a lot of what Jimmy said, and what's one key thing you can take? What's one, thing that you can delegate? Maybe what are you currently executing right now that could be delegated? Maybe what's one person who, who you need to figure out what you can delegate to that person. Maybe it needs to start, like you said, with prayer.
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to pray for the people in your group, the people on your team, the things that you can delegate? You know, some of our groups, you might feel like you don't have a lot to delegate. Some of our team leaders might feel like I've got a million things I could delegate. But the key isn't just getting things done. The key is, you know, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, and all of us doing it together. So, so what's that one thing? What's that one thing that you need to do in terms of delegation that, will make you an influential leader? As we wrap this up, Jimmy, I want to give you a chance. Is there anything, that you want to share before we close, just about delegation?
Yeah. So what's kind of been resonating in my mind is an encouragement or an invitation to for everyone listening to go read Exodus chapter 18, maybe. Now that I'm here, I think it's 18. I'm going to say 14 or 18, but I believe it's 18. There's a story in there about Moses and his father-in-law named Jethro. And you'll see a great story about delegation and why the father-in-law is encouraging Moses to delegate to other people.
18. I wanted to help you out because I have the whole Bible memorized. And so it just took me, you know, a minute to kind of
file through
through my brain. I promise I didn't look on my phone real quick to see where it was. But I just, you know, had to go through the Rolodex in my brain.
What I love about the Exodus 18 passage, if you look why he is saying to Moses, you need to delegate because you're trying to lead and manage 500,000 people by yourself. And Moses was burning out. And so when he started delegating, Moses was not being burned out. And then another thing it said in there is that people left happy. And I love the happy because, when we utilize our skills as leaders to delegate to other people, people are just happy in general. Yeah. And we live in a season right now, especially in the U.S., where everyone just seems burned out. And I know in that passage I wrote the word burned out and I circled it, and then the answer was delegation. And so, and then leads to happiness.
I don't know that that too many people ever really seem happy.
Yeah, I know. Well, we can get there. We can get there.
But yeah, but even just, you know, a lot of times I think of, in terms of people serving in the right roles, when we get them in the right role, I love to say that it gives them life.
Yeah.
You know, and we see people every day walking around that look like they're dead.
Yeah.
Look like
they're
experiencing
all
death,
the time,
and they're alive.
Yeah.
And we
can use this stuff in our own homes, you know, like delegating. I delegate way too much to my kids and they tell me when I do, but I might back off. I don't know. I think the final thing that I'll say is that delegation though is very relational. Like it's extremely relational. It's not something that you just go do and then back off from that person. Like, no, in order for delegation to be successful, there has to be a relationship there. Otherwise, if I'm doing something within our own organization and nobody appreciates me, nobody loves me, nobody wants to relate to me, like I'm probably going to leave or just be very unhappy. So I feel loved and I'll support and all that stuff here for sure. But it's very relational. And I want to paint a picture of what delegation looks like biblically through chapter 18. I just encourage people to read that. And then Acts chapter 6, but, everyone who serves at Relevant, everyone who has a role, a team leader, a group leader, a ministry leader, a coach, whatever role they're serving in, like it's an honor to serve in that role because if you think about when Ronnie launched Relevant, God called him to start Relevant, Ronnie began delegating immediately because you have to. And we get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of God starting a church in Elkhorn, Nebraska, and continuing to see it do whatever God calls us to do.
Impact our community, impact the kingdom.
Yeah. So I delegate to people, and it's not for Relevant, it's for Jesus.
Yeah.
Like
that's awesome.
It's his kingdom, and we're just serving in it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Thanks for wrapping up with that. I mean, It's what it's all about. So just appreciate that. Jimmy, I appreciate you joining us today, being here on this podcast. As always, leaders, make sure to follow the Relevant Leader Monthly on whatever platform that you're listening to, so you can get a notification when the podcast is available every month. We post a new podcast the last Friday of every month, so make sure to listen. And don't forget to join us again next month for another conversation to help all of us become influential leaders.